Coming up on NHL Fantasy on Ice, Rob Heat and Davey have all the angles covered, listener questions answered, and a few best bets and DFS plays sprinkled in for good measure.
Welcome back, everybody. Pete, Rob, and Davey Satriano in the house talking fantasy on this Thursday morning. And Thursday means another DFS contest on FanDuel Fantasy on Ice Leaderboard Series. Let's go, guys.
Wow, the energy is high today for the contest, and hopefully we can have a little bit of a better result collectively.
Rob, you were top 10. I think Pete and I need to step up today, big time.
Well, yeah. Plenty of games to do that, boys. Where are we off to first? Who do we like that jumps out right off the board?
I have some interesting lines that I'm looking at. I mean, namely the Braden Point news. He might come back for this game, and if he does, he's on a line with Nikita Kucherov, elite fantasy asset, and Steven Stamkos, one of the best goal scorers in the world. So, I mean, do you spend up for these three? Do you have any worries about Braden Point coming back against the Maple Leafs without any gameplay here this fall?
I don't have any worries about Point coming back, but there's a lot of players in that game you can pick. I mean, I like Kerfoot because he's like $4,400 or something. So if he scores a goal and assist, anything for that price is pretty good. But Point's going to step in there. I think he's going to have a good game tonight.
I have a hard time looking at those games with two elite teams in them just because it's hard to pick one side. I don't want to commit to the Lightning and then have the opponent go off. You know what I mean? Like that's
so true.
That's kind of my worry when those two elite guys go head-to-head.
And when I said lines, I was talking about the Tampa top line, which now arguably is as good as any line out there. And then the other two notorious lines for being the best in the league, Colorado and Boston going at each other. And that's another dilemma. Do you go, I mean, like in my lineup, I'm spending up for Mikko Rantanen and I'm stacking him with Cale Makar, who has two power play assists through two games. So that's how I'm approaching that. But at the same time, I'm kind of doing what you're doing and looking at Boston's side. They're all expensive, but how can you tap into those guys?
I had the top line in the contest for fun a few days ago, and they had three goals and three assists. And that's what you need to do when there's two or three games. But Rob and I were talking about this earlier. It's kind of hard to stack lineups lines when there's 11 games because if you miss, you're completely done. With 11 games, you can kind of spread it around. So I like Boston. I like Colorado. They're both very undefeated to start the season. But I don't know if I'd go with two or three guys from each team or either team just because if it's 2-1, you're in some trouble.
Yeah, my lineup's pretty diverse tonight. And I think that stacking strategy does work from time to time, but I don't think over the full season, if you stack every single Thursday night, you're going to be so far down on the leaderboard because you have probably a 5% chance of that hitting.
You stacked the Rangers last time. It worked out really nicely. A lot of the people high up on the leaderboard had the Rangers, and I actually looked at one of the last place finishers, and they went all in on the Panthers in that game. They came up empty, but it was like Dadonov, Barkov, Huberdeau. On some nights, maybe you would have won the contest with that lineup, so that's how little separation we're talking about here.
And going back to that thing I said about the two elite teams facing off and kind of avoiding that, that's why I don't have action in the Boston-Colorado game either. I do, however, have action in Nashville. I like Evgeny Kuznetsov coming off the one-goal, three-shot performance. Considering he was skating on the third line, I love that play for $7,100 on Thursday, and he will be elevated to the second line in that game. So that is one of my lineup-building blocks.
Yeah, I think that's a good call. I actually stayed away from this game just because I wasn't sure. It's probably going to be an offensive. I'm going with 4-5, 5-4, 4-3. I take the over, whatever it is. But I just wasn't sure which players were going to figure in there, so I stayed away from this game. I'm going to watch it, but for DFS purposes, I don't have anyone in it.
If you're still looking at that Nashville top line, Granlund's still very cheap. I think he's only like $5,000, so you could get the easy exposure to Duchesne or Philip Forsberg, and Forsberg always plays good against his so-called former team, right? The team that traded him to Nashville.
And one thing I wanted to ask you guys is how do you select a Nashville blue liner in DFS? Because one day it's Roman Josi getting the goals. The next day it's Ryan Ellis. The next day it's Matthias Ekholm. How can you be confident in who you're putting in your lineup? Because they're all around the same price point.
Yeah, I'm big on Roman Josi, but not so much for DFS just because it's so random. I think Dante Fabbro can provide some really cheap value in DFS as their fourth defenseman, the spot that was held in previous years by Mattias Ekholm. And I think that he has returned value so many years now that you could look just to the cheap option on a night-to-night basis, hopefully scratch the surface, hopefully avoid like a goose egg for a very cheap price and then spend up elsewhere.
Yeah, I like Ekholm, but as Rob mentioned, it's like a roulette wheel here. You're just spinning, hoping you pick the right guy. Fabro had an empty net goal the other night. If he didn't have that, his points probably wouldn't have been that good. But it's very tough because, as you mentioned, their prices are all really close to each other.
They are. They're within a couple thousand. So it's if you really miss out on one, you've wasted a lot of money. And I've also got Evander Kane in my lineup tonight for the Sharks, who I did watch them play Nashville the other night, and I know they ended up losing, but they really didn't look that bad. They were generating a lot of offense. Kane had a nice goal in that game. He's a heavy shot producer. He's going to get some blocks. He's going to chip in physically. So Evander Kane, definitely a lineup building block.
Funny you bring up the Sharks, Robbie, because I was just looking at the big board and I'm 0 for 3 on the Sharks, quite frankly. 0 for 3. And in my heart of hearts, I just think I'm going to keep wagering on them until they win. And I think tonight in Chicago, if they don't win this game, my head is going to explode.
Mm-hmm.
The San Jose Sharks have had a couple of things working against them so far. They were without Carlson for the opener, without Kane for the first three. Difficult schedule when you really think about it. First two against Vegas, at Nashville, and then on the second of a back-to-back, they had to face John Gibson, who I really like tonight in Pittsburgh and has been hands down the best goalie in the league so far through three games or so. But yeah, the Sharks, I think this is the opportunity, like Bob said, to stack heavy. I have two Sharks in my lineup tonight, and we'll see how the cookie crumbles here, but I like my chances.
I don't know what you guys think about Marleau on the top line there in his first game, but personally, I've got Kane and DeBrincat in this one. The Blackhawks haven't played in a week. They lost that game out in Europe. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to come out guns a-blazing, score five goals, light up the Sharks. I mean, there's nothing I've seen from the Sharks that makes me think they're winning this game as much as I'd like to see them finally win a game.
Davey's absolutely correct. There is nothing. They can't put the biscuit in the net. There is nothing that I've seen from the Sharks that leads me to believe that they're going to win. But you know what? I'm going to keep going to the well because I've lost every time. At some point, they got to win a game.
The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. So I'm with you, Bob. I'm also going insane with the Sharks on this one. Another winless team or pointless team, the Devils. I mean, Taylor Hall has to break through eventually. They're on the second of a back-to-back. He got robbed by Carter Hart the other night. Almost a goal for him. Is he going to score tonight?
I don't know. I mean, I would be interested in going back to the well with Jack Hughes just because I think Jack Hughes, even though he has a low floor so far in fantasy with very little shot volume, he is the one guy that could inject some life into this team right now, because right now this is an utter disaster with how this is going. The power play has been terrible. What, they had multiple five on threes, they can't score, they can't even generate shots. Jack Hughes or bust for me tonight. I'm not touching any other Devil.
I'm not touching any Devil, and the reason is because they scored four goals in two periods in their opening game, and since then, 2.5 games, they've been outscored 15-2. They can't score goals.
Rough.
As Pete mentioned, that power play yesterday was awful. They had a 2-minute five on three. They couldn't generate anything. I mean, I don't see anything good happening for the Devils tonight.
The old adage in hockey is if you don't score on a 5-on-3, you don't win the game. Simple as that. So they need to get that going ASAP. I'm turning to some low ownership options tonight, though, for my defenseman. I've got Ryan Suter. Ryan Suter's a top pairing defenseman, logging around 26 minutes per game. He's got 3 points through two games. In the Wild, quite frankly, they have no appeal in watching terms, but in DFS, no one's going to be on them, so I'm all over him.
He's going to be scoring their points. He's going to be played 25 minutes a game, right? And he's going to be the best defenseman on the ice with how depleted Winnipeg's group is. So I like that pick. A little stealth pick there from Robbie. But for back to the Sharks, I wanted to get to some of these guys because I was looking at the guys with the most shots among forwards, still without a goal, and a bunch of Sharks are on this list. So when we were talking about there's nothing to be seen indicating a potential bounce back, I beg to differ because Kevin LeBanc, 0 for 13, Tomas Hertl and Timo Meier 0 for 11 so far. They are generating 3-plus shots a game, and eventually one's going to fall for one, two, or three of those guys.
Well, like you said, Pete, the only thing that you could turn to from a positive perspective on the San Jose Sharks is at some point someone's going to score a goal, and at some point they're going to win a game. That's it. But if you're actually watching the games, it's a struggle for them to generate offense.
I'm not sure about this, but I don't think any team's ever gone 0-82 in the season We'll have to check that. But
I'll have to ask the stats people about that because I'm not sure off the top of my head about that one, Davey. I do think there is appeal there. But again, for me, I need to see it before I've got too many of these guys in my lineup.
And Patrick Marleau, I'm actually rostering because he's on the top line with Logan Couture and with Timo Meier. That is a great spot. I think he's going to be a breath of fresh air to that team for nostalgia purposes, and I think he can still skate from what I've heard over the summer.
So Pete's got John Gibson as his goalie, which he alluded to earlier. I think that's a great pick. We made that one on NHL.com/fantasy. Search for the DFS picks. Very good article there. Davey, goalie master, reigning champion, who do you have in your lineup?
First, let me just say, yesterday I went with Jacob Markstrom. He did okay, I think, against the Kings, so we'll pat ourselves on the back for that one. Tonight I've got either Hellebuck or Brassois, whoever starts. Not Merzliskins, but it's tough to pronounce. Whichever goalie is starting for Winnipeg against Minnesota, he's going to be cheap because there's 11 games, and I think that the Wild just can't score, so I'm going with the Jets goalie tonight.
Brassois. Is that the correct one? Brassois. My college French class is paying off. But to Robbie, I'm going to put you on the spot, and I'm going to ask you for your against-the-grain pick of the night. As far as the team goes, do you have one up your sleeve to give to the listeners?
I do. I'm going to the Ducks for this one, and I like Andre Kasha. He is a volume scorer, heavy good stats in goals per 60, 1.30 over the past two seasons. This guy is going to light the lamp, and when he does, it's probably going to be a multi-goal game. So I like the Ducks against the grain. Pittsburgh is the most depleted team in the NHL. Galchenyuk is missing the game. Hornquist is missing the game. Malkin's out for about a month. I mean, there is absolutely zero appeal in Pittsburgh. The dream there is over.
And that's why I like the Pittsburgh kid, John Gibson, who has a 970 save percentage this year. He's 2-2 with a bad save percentage in his career against the Penguins, but keep in mind that's been an elite team for many years. This is his chance to maybe get a shutout against his hometown team. I wouldn't be surprised. And yeah, Kasha's also on that list of guys with 10-plus shots without a goal so far.
He had 11 shots in the first two games. That's utterly ridiculous.
I'm actually going to go with someone in that game against the grain too. Brandon Tanev, he's like $3,600. They're without five or six forwards. Someone's going to score for the Penguins, right? They're going to get one goal.
True. At least, have been using that logic all show.
I think 3,600 for a guy like him where, hey, someone's got to step up for the Penguins. Why not him at that price? I'll take a flyer tonight.
I mean, Jared McCann is a stretch, but Brandon Tanev, who is he playing with? I mean, I don't know. I mean, at least McCann has had a big game outside of the Sidney Crosby line, so maybe that's why I would go with him. And he's probably on, like, power play one right now because everybody else is out of commission.
I'm not going to lie. I did look at Davey's lineup this morning at the water cooler, and I got a little self-conscious about my lineup because I do think Davey's on to something tonight.
And, guys, all the discussion of your lineups and players, and there's a big boy matchup, Tampa-Toronto. No players targeted in those games? Is it because high ownership, you want to stay away? What's the deal there?
I mean, I think Anthony Cirelli, if you're looking for a cheap option, he's either – the thing about that Tampa top line, the stacked line with Point, Kucherov, and Stamkos, I don't think that line is going to stick together for the entire game. I think they're going to break it up. That means Cirelli's probably going to play with one of those three guys, and he's dirt cheap right now. So I would tap into him. But there's a little, and Austin Matthews is worth spending up for, but like some of those Toronto secondary forwards have not lived up to expectations so far.
And I feel like every time the NHL bills sort of a high scoring game and you're looking at the over-under and you're thinking, oh, that's for sure an over, it's usually the games that go under. And it's usually the games that's going to be a Freddie Anderson, Andre Vasilevsky goalie clinic. Mm-hmm. So I usually like to get those October games on my pass list, and then I'll hit those on the December, January, February.
I actually like Shattenkirk in that game for Tampa. He's a good. The price is fair. I think if you're going to go with anyone in that game, you might want to take a defenseman just because of the price point, and they'll have. It'll be easier for a defenseman to get in than scoring offensively. So,
I'm not getting back into that Cody Ceci versus Kevin Shattenkirk debate because they're actually playing against each other in this game. But I'm fading both of those. I also saw Shattenkirk was moved off the first pair at practice for what it's worth. So that kind of diminishes his value a little bit. My over of the night is Chicago, San Jose. And I actually am tapping. I drafted a couple of Sharks. I'm also drafting Patrick Kane. And you could easily offset that price with his line mate, Nylander.
I like it. And one game we haven't talked about is Detroit, Montreal. Montreal's on the second of a back-to-back. I still like Carey Price in that game. I know Detroit's offense is clicking, but is it really sustainable with the roster outside the top line? Probably not. So If you are going to go with the Red Wings in this one, make sure you get Dylan Larkin, because if Mantha pops off again, Larkin's going to have every apple on his goals.
Yeah, I mean, those two guys, and even Bertuzzi is probably the cheapest of those three, and we've seen what he's done this season. So he might be a guy I'm looking at, but I agree with you. I think Price has a big game today. I take the Canadiens.
From that Detroit side, I really like what I've seen for one of my must-have players in the preseason, Philip Hronek. Had two assists in that wild goal game, four goals for Mantha, and then scored a goal in their last game. So I like his coverage. I like his upside, how he's emerging as the number one defenseman for the Red Wings. For Edmonton, though, one of the biggest stories of the week is the real deal James Neal. But is he the real deal? I'm skeptical a little bit.
James Neal is not the real deal, and I'll tell you why. I'm not a behind-the-numbers guy like Rob Reese over here, who does a great job with that piece, by the way. Thank you. But remember a few years ago, his first year with Vegas, he had 6 goals in 6 games, and I think he scored 7 in the final 40-something.
Wow.
I mean, this is what he does. We know he scores 20 goals, but he's not going to get 30 this season. He'll be lucky to get 25. Is he going to be play with Connor McDavid the whole season? No. If I was playing with Connor McDavid, I'd score 3 goals by accident, probably. So I am not in on James Neal.
Get in on James Neal. And I have never uttered those words before, but this is the season. The Calgary-Lucic-James Neal trade is going to look so lopsided when this season comes to an end. It's all about James Neal. He's getting at least 30 goals. Can he score 40 like when he was with Malkin?
40?
Probably not, but he is due for 30. I ran the numbers. I have an article on NHL.com right now telling you why both him and Anthony Mantha are guaranteed to score 30 goals. I'll spare everybody, all the listeners, with the numbers. If you want to crunch the numbers, you can do it. But the only thing you need to know for James Neal is he plays with Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. If it's not at even strength, it's on the power play. If they want to take away James Neal on the power play, guess who's scoring the goals? Connor McDavid. Guess who owns him in fantasy? Me. So, hey, I'm not complaining either way here.
I think that this is all good news for Oscar Klefbom, who's healthy right now, playing well, 4 assists in his first 2-3 games, 2 on the power play, and he's associated with all those forwards now. And now there's a fourth forward on Edmonton's first power play who has a pulse. So that this is good stuff and trending in the right direction. This is another team, let's not exaggerate on them. I know they're atop the mighty Pacific Division right now, but we're 3-4 games into the season.
I'm just going to throw one note out there, and I don't have the numbers. Maybe you guys do. Just from what I've absorbed, teams on a back-to-back early in the season have really, really struggled. I don't know if that window is passed, but we saw it last night with the Kings. They got their doors blown off at Vancouver. Just something to keep an eye on. Teams on a back-to-back early in the season right now, from what I've seen, it looks like they've struggled mightily.
I think the trend's going the other way. I think the Kings were the outlier, the last one to have that phenomenon happen, because they got so up for the Matthew Tkachuk, Drew Doughty game. Drew Doughty scores the OT winner. He's chirping the fans. One of the funniest highlights you're going to see all season long. That phenomenon stops tonight. It's going to be Montreal at home with the W.
Well, if that phenomenon continues, producer, today we got the Devils, who scored 0 goals last night. So are they going to score -1 goals tonight? I mean, can't be much worse than they were yesterday.
There's only one way to go, and it's up for the Devils. But yeah, we're still a little skeptical on their upside for this game, especially going against that red hot power play for Edmonton. So is there any appeal in the Senators here? I mean, they're playing the Blues. It seems like a lock of the night type thing, but we were looking, right? Thomas Chabot's playing like 27 minutes a game. He's only like 5,400 in FanDuel.
That's the Ryan Suter strategy, basically. You get a top-line defenseman on a team that probably won't make the playoffs, so you're looking at a low-ownership play. Yeah, he leads the league in ice time. I mean, that is a no-brainer.
And plus-minus doesn't hurt you, so...
I didn't have anyone in this game, but I think you're right. If you want to win this contest, you got to pick defensemen that no one's going to have, and not many people are going to have anyone on Ottawa.
I also like Roope Hintz. He's scoring a goal almost every game for Dallas. I think he's got 4 through 4 games, and he's only 5,500. He's in my lineup as well tonight.
We're only about 2 weeks or so into the season, and I think I've heard Pete say, I like Roope Hintz over 45 times.
Yeah,
and
listen, is he not scoring every game?
You've been right
every single night?
You're right. I just think, you know, we could have that on loop. You know, I get it on tape. We just have it on loop. We play it. You don't have to waste your breath anymore. You like Roope Hintz. We all know it, and you've been right about it.
Okay. And then one against the grain. I'll give my against the grain of tonight. So the Coyotes have barely scored any goals this season. Two through two games, two narrow losses to some good teams. But they play another one here at home, Golden Knights. We don't know if it's going to be Kemper or Ranta, but I like Derek Stepan. He had 6 points in four games against the Golden Knights last year. And he's playing on that sleeping giant line, right, with Clayton Keller and Phil Kessel. Only a matter of time before that line goes bombs away.
I was looking at the prices for the Arizona centers there. Very reasonable. I just wasn't sure which one. Stepan, who is who I was thinking, I stayed away, but I wouldn't be surprised if he has a big game tonight.
So to read my lineup, and I'm only giving away four picks. If you want premium, you're going to have to throw me a little cash app, baby. So center, and hey, I've been getting tons of DMs. Keep them coming, boys. I'm going to help you win some cash. So center, Yevgeny Kuznetsov at Nashville. Lineup lock, Evander Kane. I like the Sharks with some road appeal tonight. Are they at home? I don't even know, boys. Home or road?
They're away.
It doesn't matter. Okay, perfect. Evander Kane on the road. Ryan Suter on the road. And then my goalie, Carey Price, at home.
And another thing about the Blackhawks, which is why I like the Sharks, and I also, not necessarily to win, I like the over, and I like stacking Sharks and DFS. The Blackhawks haven't played in almost a week coming back from that game in the Czech Republic. They've only played one game on the season, so something to be concerned about there. My lineup, I got Jack Hughes. I'm going back to the well like I said I would. Also going back to the well with Roope Hintz for 55. Mikko Rantanen, I wanted to pick him last week. He proved me wrong. He's been great in their first two games, multi-point in each. I like him at home against Boston in a potential high-scoring game. I like Patrick Marleau, cheap price under 4K. Timo Meier stacking with his line mate, Patrick Kane stacking in that game on the opposite side, and then two bona fide power play one defensemen, Torrey Krug, Cale Makar, and then Johnny Boy Gibson, I think, finally breaks through in his hometown.
Yeah, for my picks, I have, as I mentioned, I got Kane and DeBrincat stack against the Sharks. I got Nikolai Ehlers because the Wild are just terrible. I think he's going to have a few goals tonight. I somehow managed to still get Connor McDavid in there,
nice.
So I'm looking at a big game from him. Defense, we've got Cale Makar and Kevin Shattenkirk, and then I said in goalie, I'm going with the Winnipeg's goalie. So I actually feel really good, and I never say that, but I like this lineup.
So your goalie rankings are actually out in living color on NHL.com. So we actually had Peter Mrazek out, even though the Hurricanes are, what, 4-0? What's the reasoning there? And it's kind of weird. James Reimer is coming at him strong on his tail.
It is weird because we all thought that Reimer would be the third string goalie. They'd have Alex Nedeljkovic Bender. Bob, mm-hmm. Can you help me with that? It's not French, but I don't know how to pronounce it.
I'll get back to you, Davey.
Okay. So thought he'd be the backup. Reimer's played really well. Mrazek has like an 8-something save percentage. He hasn't looked good in his two starts, even though he has two wins. So We like Markstrom to crack the top 25, and he proved us right last night.
I'm with you, Davey. You can't play at an 8.52 save percentage, even though you've won every game, and think that's sustainable. It's absolutely not going to happen. And James Reimer, I'm sorry, but he's not what Curtis McElhinney is. So that trend also, 47 saves the other night. That's probably the last time it's going to happen for him this season.
And Jacob Markstrom came through. We were thinking of taking him out, and he actually had a big performance. And the Canucks finally showing some fantasy relevance with a big 8-goal showing. And that's something to keep in mind, right? I saw your boy JT Miller had a 4-point game.
Big game
picking him up in season long?
Absolutely. The Canucks are definitely a team I'm all over in season long. And anybody also that hit me up on Twitter saying, should I drop Quinn Hughes after like their first two games? I'm thinking, what on earth? He's the next Brian Rafalski. I mean, he can do everything you want with the puck. He can shoot. He can score. He can do assists. He can do that. He can do this. So keep Quinn Hughes, please. And then a couple other teams I'm going to throw out there for you boys that I'm all over on the waiver wire. The Buffalo Sabres, Marcus Johansson's a good ad. Colin Miller's a good ad. Obviously, Victor Olofsson. If you haven't already added him, you might have missed out on that train. And then one more team that we talked about was Edmonton, but I like Zach Cassian for all coverage as a waiver wire guy too.
Yeah, you know, if he's going to be with McDavid again, as last year he was and early on this season, I think that's a good play. I'd actually prefer Cassian over James Neal. Call me crazy, but that's just my take.
Mm-hmm.
For Buffalo, though, yeah, Marcus Johansson's playing with Jeff Skinner at even strength. He knocked in a nice feed from Colin Miller in the overtime. And the Sabres, all of a sudden, we had questions about their goaltending. We knew their defense got a lot better in the offseason. Colin Miller is a phenomenal fit with that team. They have three strong lines. Jack Eichel is a man on a mission right now. And Carter Hutton cracked your top 25 goalie rankings. Am I wrong?
You're not wrong. I like Hutton. I liked him last year, too. It just seems like it's a little early, but it seems like this year he's got a better team in front of him. We talked about the defense. I think Dahlin has like 6 points already. Olofsson has, what, 6 points, all power play goals. It seems like they're clicking early on. We know they had a hot start last year, and then they kind of fell off. So we'll have to see what happens. But I like Hutton. I like the Sabres trending up this season.
What happens when the power play dries up?
Well, I think Olofsson's going to get 0 points. That's clear.
That's clear.
Only scores on the power play.
It's crazy, though. They don't even have Ristolainen, and he's on the second power play. So now they got some talent on that group as well. And, yeah, I'm just – last year they got out hot. But they were only one line. Now it's very intriguing here with multiple lines producing on a night-to-night basis. And Olofsson's been one of the biggest steals of the season so far. Shout-out to Nick Alberga for that pick.
Shout-out to Nick Alberga, one of the greats. Little offended. Everyone's giving out their locks and against the grain picks. And Bob Bender's sitting here chomping at the bit. I'm going to give you a little diamond in the rough tonight that I like.
Okay.
I'm looking at the under six in the St. Louis-Ottawa game. I believe that that game's going to be tight checking. I have a hard time believing that Ottawa is going to generate offense against the Blues.
Mm-hmm.
I like both goaltenders. Give me the under six in that game, boys.
And where would we parlay that? I need a good parlay on a Thursday night.
Houston Astros.
Okay, let's swing at the baseball. So, boys, let's get your baseball lineups in.
Congrats to Robbie's Washington Nationals, by the way.
Yeah, I feel like we're going to ride this high out for another 2 days, and then the Cards and their fan base are just going to come raining down on the parade. But, you know, ride it while we can. DC Sports.
This is the sick kind of fan I've become. I've found a little joy in that Atlanta Braves first inning just from my 90s Mets fan days. But that's where I stand right now on the baseball front.
All right, that's enough baseball for me, boys. Let's do a little bit hockey. Buy low, sell high. Who's up on the top of the list, Pete?
I feel like I've been saying this for 2 years, but there was some strong play from Jamie Benn in the playoffs, which gives me a little faith. So I'm buying low on Jamie Benn, thinking that the Dallas Stars offense finally, ultimately turns it around.
How about Jack Hughes on the New Jersey Devils? Did anyone think Quinn Hughes was going to score a goal in the NHL before Jack Hughes? I don't think anyone did. But the Devils are just, as we mentioned, they're not playing well at all. But they're going to have some guys, especially him. People, as Rob mentioned, we're talking about dumping Jack Hughes and Quinn Hughes. Are you crazy? No. Jack Hughes, get him in the lineup.
And
if
what
you can get him now. Get
what
him.
About Capo Caco for the Rangers, or Capo Caco, as some people say? Is that another player that you feel similarly to Jack Hughes on, or you have to keep this guy?
It's been 2 games. The Rangers have, what, 3 games in 14 days? I think the New York Giants have more games this week than the New York Rangers. That's a good stat for you.
That's actually a great one.
Caco is going to be fine. It was 2 games. You know, give him some time.
If someone drops Caco in your league, just make room for him. Drop somebody else. Get this guy on your roster. I will guarantee that by November he is on at least the top line or the first power play. Maybe both. Because I've kind of tried and failed with Buchnevich in the past. I'm not so sold that he can sustain both of those spots.
And if you guys can get any takers, sell high. As much as it pains me to say it, sell high on Cody Ceci if you can. You might be able to get something special for him. He's been so good. Sell high on Cody.
The show is coming back down to reality on those sleeper picks already. Who's another player, Pete, that is just off to an electric start that you might be willing to cut the cord on?
I was really high on Anthony Mantha for 35, 40 goals, but after a 4-goal game, you can sometimes get so much value in return for a player like that. For a James Neal, obviously, if someone's willing to pony up and spend for him, go with that first. But, yeah, Anthony Mantha is on the Detroit Red Wings, who I do not expect to be a playoff team or even in contention for that matter. So I think that's a good sell-high candidate if you can get an elite player back in return.
I would prefer to trade Neal than Mantha. I think Mantha has the better shot at 30, 35 goals. But you're right, Pete. 4-goal game, if you need something on your team, you can get something back for him.
So if you have any of these questions, buy low, sell high, whatever, DFS lineups, hit us all up on Twitter. I'm at NHL Reese. Davey Boy is at David Satriano. And Pete is at NHL Jensen.
And Bobby Bender is at Airchecked.
If you need any weekend picks on a Saturday, I can promise you I'm in my soft clothes on the couch all day from about 9 a.m. till about 2 a.m. Sprinkling in the hockey night in Canada, Saturday night pucks, a little college football. Hit me up on Twitter. I'm lonely.
I like it. A little Penn State, Iowa, too. But, yeah, thanks again to Dave Satriano for joining us. We appreciate it, man.
Always love being here.
So for Bob Bender, Dave Satriano, Robbie Reese, remember, check out our other podcasts, NHL Executive Suite and NHL at the Rink. So peace out, everybody. We'll talk to you again next week here on NHL Fantasy on Ice.